as it started to get really close, everything just started, kind of started to fall apart. Like, I mean, just internally, I started feeling, man, I'm really nervous about this trip because I've been kind of set up as this expert, which I know, like, deep down, I'm just not an expert like they think I am. And I think that that just kind of started to psych me up, you know, psych me out. And so that was kind of one thing. And then the other thing was my physical health was just falling apart. Like, I woke up, I feel pretty good. I feel strong and I have health. But I was leaving Saturday night, and I remember, like, Friday night I went to sleep and I started to feel a little bit off. And, you know, you've been hearing all these things about COVID going around, and I had all these cold symptoms. So I'm like, I don't know what if I'm coming down with COVID and I'm going to another country, which I have a little bit of PTSD about, because I was actually, we were in Peru when, you know, they shut everything down on March 16th, 2020. And so I was nervous about going, you know, same continent, South America. I was nervous about getting stuck there. What if I get COVID and they lock everything down again? And I just had all these thoughts, even if they weren't rational, they just, all these fears came to me. And then we were just dealing with some other stuff too. And I know all of you, we all deal with these, like, emergencies, you know, these issues that we have that come up in life. And I was just, I was praying that Saturday right before I was about to go to the airport. And I was really hit hard with a living word, I believe. And so I'll start with that and then just kind of take off from there. Because it's, like I said, it's like, I think Mike Balloon says this, but there's, you know, God doesn't say a lot of things, or he doesn't say a lot of things, but he says a few things in a lot of different ways. And so, like, the Bible is so interconnected. There's not really a ton of different messages in there. And so it's all there. I mean, you, like, I was looking around, I was in Proverbs, then I went to Psalms, then I went to, the Torah, Genesis, Exodus, Deuteronomy, and then you're in the New Testament, and it's just like, wow, it's just blowing up, and you're just seeing all this awesome stuff. So we'll start with the word I got in Proverbs 4. So I kind of started off, again, just like you do. You have your problem, you have your issue. And I was starting to read. I was like, God, I just need wisdom. I was thinking, I really need wisdom. So I started reading through the Proverbs. And as I got through it, I started to notice that as God is talking about wisdom, he starts talking about the heart quite a bit. So as I'm studying Proverbs, I started to just note everywhere where I saw the word heart, and I would just draw a little heart around that word, you know, the word heart. And probably one of the first places you see it, like Proverbs 2:2, so that you, he's talking to his son, this is like a father to a son, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. And then you start noticing he says these other things. If you seek her, if you seek for wisdom as silver and search for her as for hid treasures. And that's like a heart thing, right? Like when you're searching for a treasure, that's like your heart has a desire, it has a longing for something that it really values. And I was just thinking about, where was my heart? Because I'm sick, I've got all these problems. I mean, we had all kinds of stuff that we were thinking about and praying about. But I just started to see that God was really interested in the heart. And then I started seeing he was talking a lot, too, about the path that you're on, you know, the paths that you're on, that your heart kind of dictates the path that you're walking in life, you know. And you see this all over the place in Proverbs, and you see it in the bad sense, like when you see these warnings against especially the young men following after, you know, seductive women. And but I think there's a spiritual understanding to that too. And so, you know, he talks about, like, say in chapter 2, verse 10, when wisdom enters into your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaks froward things, who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness of the wicked. And so you start to see that there's a path of righteousness, there's a path that you're on that leads to good things, and then there's a path of darkness, you know. And so I was just starting to ask myself, like, what path am I on? Because I'm really suffering here. I don't know if I'm supposed to go on this trip or if I should cancel it. I don't know if I'm setting myself up for failure. I was praying about all these things. And going to kind of skip forward, but I encourage you to read, obviously read your Bible, but read through the Proverbs and just see how important the heart is. Because I feel like, you know, God gives us a lot of authority. He gives us a lot of, he's already given us the power to walk out and to basically put us on a predetermined kind of course to be blessed. But like, he's not going to walk it out for you, right? And so when you think about the word path, like the path has a predetermined destination. It's got an outcome, but you walk on it, right? And you choose the path that you walk on. And so anyway, keeping that all in mind, Proverbs chapter 4, this is what really hit me hard. And I'll just start with verse 14 in Proverbs 4. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. For they sleep not, except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away, unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness, and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is as the shining light, that shines more and more into the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. My son, attend to my words, incline your ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart. This is what really hit me. Keep your heart, or guard your heart, with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And so, regardless of what your problem is, like your emergency that you were talking about, whatever you have that's on your mind, the answer to all of your outer life problems is to go inward, right? To go inside, into the heart. Keep your heart with all diligence. And I just think about, like, if you think about the issues of life, you know, you think about all these things that if you have a problem, like, what's the world do when there's a problem? Now we Google stuff, right? You just type your problem, your question into Google, and you'll get a whole bunch of answers. Or you maybe go talk to a friend, you know, and it's like, it's so tempting when you have a problem to just try to run out and go solve it, you know? If it's a health problem, if it's a financial problem, and there's not, like, it's not like that's bad. I'm not trying to make anyone feel ashamed if you're going to Google. I do it all the time. But just realizing that that's not where the ultimate answer is. And that whenever you do have a problem, you don't want to ignore the heart, you know, the core of what it is that makes your life work. You know, like where I work in, I work with surgeons, so we see inside the body like all the time. And I don't know if you've ever seen like some of these videos of when they put cameras into the body. Like two particular types of surgeries that I'm in a lot. I'm in the these colorectal surgeries. Bob, I know you're in surgery all the time. But that's fascinating. Like you put a scope into the belly and you see, you know, the bowels moving around. And, you know, it's just fascinating. You know, it's like it's very dynamic. It's moving around and it's not still, you know, and you can just kind of sense how alive it is. And you can sense too when people feel emotions, like if they're tense, like your bowels actually kind of tense up, you know, like it's just like a big giant muscle inside of your abdomen. And then you see, you know, I'm not in surgeries where they do like hip replacements or knee replacements, but those things freak me out because I still don't see like a lot of that kind of stuff open. I don't see bones sticking out. So if I ever see anything like that, I completely freak out. But I can look at, you know, I can look at guts all day long and it just doesn't bother me because I just see it all the time. But the last several years, I've also been focused on lung cancer. So we work with thoracic surgeons and they stick a scope into the chest. And they're right next to the heart. You just see that thing beating. And you just think about, you know, all the things in your life that you can kind of stand to lose. Like we were talking about this yesterday, Jeff, but just, you know, like you can lose an arm, you can lose a leg, you know, you can even have some pretty big head injuries, but if you start messing with the heart, it is, you know, you're in trouble. Like you're not going to, You may not make it out, right, if you have an injury to the heart. If you get stabbed in the heart, or if you have some kind of, you know, penetrating trauma in the heart, or if the surgeon actually accidentally moves like an instrument into the heart, which that has happened, that's not something you recover from very quickly. I know Monty knows that. Dr. Monty knows that. But you just think about biologically how important the heart is, you know, and you just think about how core it is to your life is basically exists based on what that heart is doing to send oxygen throughout your body and, you know, return the carbon dioxide. And just the way it works, like I've talked to these surgeons before and just been curious, you know, how does it work? You know, how is it that it beats? And it is kind of mysterious. And you know, I were talking about that yesterday too, Jeff. It's just, it's like it's an electric pulse, right? It's like an electricity that's going on, and it's like it's working off of glycogen and sugar, and has something to do with, you know, what you eat, and it goes into the bloodstream. I don't know. I'm not trying to get into all of that, but it's mysterious, and it's just amazing how everything revolves around the heart. And so you think about the issues of life, whether it's health or whether it's, you know, some problem that you have with, like for myself, it was a health issue. It was a performance issue. I was feeling nervous. Whatever the problem is, it could be a relationship issue. It could be anything. Whatever the issue is, I think we should listen to our hearts, and we should be paying attention to where our hearts are, right? So that's kind of what I wanted to start with, because in Proverbs it does say, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. I'll just read the rest of this. Put away from you a froward mouth and perverse lips, put far from thee. Let your eyes look right on, and let your eyelids look straight before you. Ponder the path of your feet, and let all your ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove your foot from evil. So your path has something to do with your heart and where your heart is. I started to see this. And so I just started to kind of pray on this, and I was asking God, I was like, God, I just feel like I need new software. You know, like I need new programming. I need to be connected to you. I need my heart to be right so that I can walk the way that I'm supposed to walk. And so I started seeing this all over the place. I'm going to jump over. I'm just going to read a few little verses here, but Psalm 31, 24, you don't have to go there, but I'm going to read it to you. All of a sudden, I need reading glasses. This just started in the last month. Yes, I'm getting old. 31, 24. Okay. Be of good courage, which is like faith, right? Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. So the Lord will strengthen your heart. All ye that hope in the Lord. Psalm 10:17. So this isn't just you doing it. It's not like you have to take the burden on of having a strong heart. He will do it. And again, the promise is that if you have a strong heart, if you are diligent about guarding your heart, which again, God helps you with, it's not on you. But that all the issues of life, health to all your flesh, everything flows out of that. 17, verse 17, Psalm 10. Lord, you have heard the desire of the humble. You will prepare their heart. You will cause your ear to hear. So that's his job, right? He's going to prepare your heart. Okay, moving on. Proverbs 16:1, back to Proverbs. Kind of building up here. The preparations of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. In verse 9, a man's heart devises his way, but the Lord directs his steps. And I love that verse because it's kind of got both, you know, the idea of man having free will. You know, we have a heart that chooses our way and the path that we're on, but it's also got the idea of God's sovereignty, which is the Lord directing our steps, right? And I, you know, we talk about this all the time. Like, we've been the last, I don't know, 5-10 years, we've been spending a lot of time next to Presbyterians who are, you know, very strong on the sovereignty of God. Like, that is what they major on. And I love the idea of it being a mystery. I definitely believe there is a sovereignty of God, but there's an authority that God has given us to walk out our faith in our lives, out of our hearts, on a path, right? But God directs our steps, but we also are encouraged to make decisions and choices and have courage. You know, you see this in Joshua. And it's mysterious. I'm not trying to, like, make a formula out of it, but there's sovereignty, but there's also God's foreknowledge of our free will choices, right? And that's where the heart is really, I think, in the middle of all of that. So you just see these really neat verses. I'm going to look at verse 25 as well. There is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death, right? So, and you read in the Old Testament too about how there's this, you know, the heart of man is deceptive above all things, you know, and that we trick ourselves to think that we can actually choose the right path. And just by kind of feeling our way around in life, you know, it talks a lot in the Old Testament about just the imaginations of our heart. It talks about it in the New Testament too. I think it's Ephesians 4:17. I would that you walk not as the Gentiles walk in the imagination of their heart, you know, just imagining things, you know, clicking on things, looking at images, and just imagining your life being whatever way you want to imagine it, and just forgetting that there's something else at the core of all of that, right? Like, I always tell the girls, like, if they are getting excited about a trip that's coming up, oh, I can't wait till this summer, I'm going to go on this trip, and I always say, remember to say, Lord willing, because you don't know the future. And I remind them, like, in 2020, you know, Abby was a senior, and she was supposed to go to Italy, and we thought we were going to Italy up until February of 2020, and that trip didn't happen, you know, and we dang near didn't get out of, we went to Peru instead. We had the tickets to Italy, and we ended up going to Peru, and we thought that'd be safe, and we basically took her there on COVID. I mean, I think she picked it up, she went to New York City with her school, then we took her to Peru, thinking we would escape this, you know, virus. And everything was just shut down and canceled. And so always say, Lord willing, you know, be humble. You don't know the future. You don't know the steps that God may direct you down in the future. So, but there is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So, again, just reminding us to keep humble. We're not God. Though we may devise a way out of our hearts, we do believe and count on the Lord to direct our steps. And I guess what I'm saying here is, you know, there's something basically about the inner life, the inner man, that has a consequence in our outer life, right? And so just what I was encouraged by basically ahead of this trip was to pay attention to my inner man and get right there. You know, remember my relationship with the Lord, not try to fix all my health problems or other problems that I have. I've always got lots of problems. But just start to pay attention to my heart. So, again, I started looking at this yesterday as I was preparing to teach, and I just started seeing all this stuff, and it was just, like I said, it's just everywhere in the Bible. If you go to Deuteronomy, you know, Deuteronomy is where Moses, they've walked through the promised land, you know, they've been walking out their faith, which, obviously, this is not just for the children of Israel. This is, there's a lot of stuff in here for our own spiritual journeys. But they're, you know, they came out of bondage, they came out of, you know, slavery, and they came into their new faith, their new walk, and they're wandering through the wilderness, you know, kind of a wandering path because they didn't believe. And on Moses' last day, I think the day before he died, he wrote down these words, or he at least spoke the words and someone else wrote them down. I think someone else wrote them down because it actually says, and then Moses died, so I doubt he wrote that part. But in Deuteronomy, he talks about how he really is like thinking back to the 40 years and, wow, what did we learn? You know, and he's it's very reflective, and he spends a lot of time. Like, if you look at Strong's Concordance on the heart, First of all, you'll see there's pages in tiny print of references to the heart throughout the Bible. I mean, it's a common theme from Genesis all the way to Revelations. It's just everywhere. But you see certain books that really, really focus on the word heart. And Deuteronomy is probably, definitely the biggest in the Torah in the first five books, but it's probably one of the biggest in the whole Bible. And I think what Moses is trying to do is leave them with the core message. Like, what is it really, when you boil it all down, what's it come down to? And he's preparing them for a new covenant, right? Because he's going to tell them the answer to the test. So he says in Deuteronomy 8:1, "All the commandments which I command you this day shall you observe to do, that you may live and multiply, and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware to your fathers. And you shall remember all the way," or the path, "which the Lord your God led you these 40 years in the wilderness." So all that wandering was actually good for you. That was actually the path God wanted you to be on. "To humble you and to prove you, to know what was in your heart." Again, their heart before the new covenant. He wanted to expose them. "Whether you would keep his commandments or not. And he humbled you and suffered you to hunger and fed you with manna." You know, like if you think about manna, it was only given enough for each day. That's all they got, was just enough for the day. So, you know, I just imagine all the prayers I pray all the time is, I just want so much, God. I want all these blessings. I want so much blessing that I don't have to trust you every single day. You know, but God's program and his path was to have his people trust him daily for new bread. So just got enough for each day. "And they didn't know this bread," it says, "which you knew not. Neither did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread only, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord does man live." And we're still learning that, right? It's not just for Israel, that's for us. "Your raiment waxed not old upon you, neither did your foot swell these 40 years. And you shall also consider in your heart that as a man chastens his son, so the Lord your God chastens you." So we're supposed to remember that in our hearts, right? That God, he's got us on a prescribed, predetermined path to humble us. And it may seem like wandering, but that's all for our heart, right? So when you look at the Old Testament and you look at the Hebrew word, this is just a little word study here. The word is, there's two words that come up a lot. There's one is labe, L-A-B-E, labe, and then there's another one, labab. But basically what it means is the core of you. So if you remember that, you know, like the core of your biological life is your heart. If a thoracic surgeon, as I'm working with these guys, it's very, I won't use the word that we use, but we're very much on the edge of our seat when we're in these cases and we see these surgeons in their first cases. Like I was with a guy down in South Tarrant County, I'll just say, recently, and he was doing his very first lobectomy, which is where you're taking out a lobe of the lung. He's got these instruments and he's just spreading these instruments right on the pulmonary artery. And the pulmonary artery is like, you know, Bob, but it's one of those, actually a low pressure vessel. And it's like, if you can imagine, if you have a really high pressure vessel, if you nick it, it'll shoot out blood, but it takes a long time to bleed out because it's just a tiny hole. It's like a balloon with a pinprick, and it takes a while for the blood to, or the fluid to get out of the balloon. But if you get into the pulmonary artery, it's a low pressure system. And it's like if you imagine like an above-ground swimming pool and somebody were to step on the side of it, all the water just goes out. You have like probably 30 seconds if you get into the pulmonary artery before the patient just dies on the table. So it's very nerve-wracking when you see somebody who's just like using an instrument, you know, separating the vessels out. He's getting ready to staple it. And it's just like anything can go wrong and you're just like, you're very nervous. And you just think about the heart, right? Like the heart is very, very delicate. And if anything were to happen to it, bad things happen. So again, just underlining the fact that the heart is important, whether biologically or spiritually or in whatever sense. So the heart is core, and the Old Testament points that out with the Hebrew word lab or labe. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. But you can see here, back to the scripture, Deuteronomy is pointing out with Moses' words that there's something wrong with the heart. He's clearly telling them there is something wrong with you. And God's trying to expose that. He wants to humble you and show you there's something wrong at your core. And I think he sees that there's this, you know, catastrophic thing that's going to happen because there's just something wrong at their core. Another word is nephesh, which is like your breath. It means something like the throat. And that's not used as often, but that's another word for the heart. You could spend, I'm sure, hours on this stuff. In the New Testament, the word is cardia, which sounds like cardiac, but also has this similar idea of the core of you, like thoughts and feelings. And sometimes it's hard to separate out between when he's talking about the soul and the spirit. You know, thoughts and feelings are, you know, mind, will, emotions. That's all soul stuff. But it also has something to do with, you know, your core being, your heart. So cardia is the word. And then it's interesting, when you look at the word sclerocardia, that's hardness of heart. Which it is interesting that, like, one of the biggest causes of death in this country, or probably worldwide in this country at least, is it atherosclerosis? Yeah, but that's a hardening of the arteries, right, around the heart. It's kind of interesting how the physical and the spiritual are tied together, because there's a lot about the hardness of heart that Moses is alluding to. So I'm going to skip ahead. We're going to go to Hebrews now. Do y'all have like 15 more minutes? I thought I'd be faster, but 15 more minutes. Hebrews chapter, let's start with 3. Hebrews 3. Verse 7. And this is, again, talking about this same idea of the wilderness experience, the spiritual journey that we're on. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. So there's something about our hearts that needs to enter into rest. And that's the answer, right? And that's all related. Again, all these things are related. Our hearts are under stress. They're hardened. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief. So something with erring in the heart has to do with unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, and lest any of you be hardened, again, hardened, that sclerocardia, hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And if you know the story, the ones who sinned didn't believe the good report. It all started with faith and unbelief. And to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believe not? So rest has to do with faith in the heart. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. And then I'll skip ahead here. Chapter 4, verse 3. For we which have believed do enter into rest. As he said, I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. So if we believe, we do enter into rest, And that is that's a good thing. Okay, 9. Chapter 4, verse 9. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works. Which, you know, works is an outer man thing. You know, again, going back to the fact that when we have a problem or an emergency, it's so easy to just run after the fixing of the problem or trying to perform, and that's not the answer. The answer is faith, receiving the word, rest, do nothing. It takes a lot of faith to do nothing. You know, right, Clay? It takes a whole lifetime to learn this. He also hath ceased from his own works as God did from his. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest. So you don't just get into rest by resting. You get into rest by laboring, which is kind of a crazy concept. Lest any man fall after that same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. I don't know that in the Bible there was ever that separation in the inner man between soul and spirit till this scripture here points this out. I mean, I'm sure it's all throughout the scriptures, but just the fact that you can separate the soul from the spirit with the word. And I believe that's what Moses was alluding to too when he was talking about how God humbled you in the wilderness. He was trying to separate your soul from your spirit. He's showing you can't do it in your own, you know, your own abilities. And of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him unto with whom we have to do. And then skipping ahead. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So that is the answer. The answer to the outer problems is the inner man. We need the inner man to get out, right? We need the inner man to just get into our souls and get into our, you know, our feelings, our thoughts, everything. Our will needs to be strengthened, and that all comes from tapping into that inner man. So one picture that I thought was really cool, and this is another whole teaching, and I'm sure like a whole year of teaching, but just, and Lori, I'm looking at you. I know that you've done a ton of study on like the Torah and just looking at the tabernacle and the picture of the spirit, soul, and body with the outer court, the holy place, the Holy of Holies. There's a lot there, right? Like just with the veil being torn and the Holy of Holies now can come out into the holy place, which would be like our soul, into the outer court, which would be like our behavior and our life, and how that goes out into the world. That's a really cool picture too, just of how the heart, the God's plan for the heart is to get it out. He wants it out. He wants you to live by your heart. And you see that as Christians grow, they are being invaded, their souls being invaded, and then their lives are being invaded by this life of the heart, which is Jesus living inside the heart through the word by faith. And you see this like in chapter 5. So verse 8. Though he were a son, talking about Jesus, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. A lot to be said about that. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation to them, unto all them that obey him. And faith and obedience, that also has something to do with as our spiritual lives, as we grow, we go from just believing to actually obeying. It's not just in your heart now, it's actually in your outer life. You're actually obeying the things that you believe. Called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. I feel like he's talking to us. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For every one that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Again, there's nothing wrong with being a babe, There's nothing wrong with needing milk. There's no shame in that. But just know that that's where you're at. And so if you're a babe, then that means you, it's easy to get confused. You're unskillful in the word, just like a baby is unskillful in, you know, taking care of themselves. But strong meat belongs to them that are full of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So you just kind of see this concept of mature spiritual growth through this heart coming out into the outer man in the outer courts. I'm just going to read three more scriptures, and then I'm done. I'll do this fast. 2 Corinthians 4:10. I told y'all, like, you get into this, and it's just like, it's everywhere. 2 Corinthians 4:10. So this is Paul talking, and he says, always bearing about in the body and the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. So the life of Jesus in the heart and the inner man getting out into the body. And the next verse says the same thing, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. Okay, Galatians 4. Galatians 4, which is also an awesome chapter. And he's talking about this spiritual journey, the spiritual growth that you have when you become a Christian, not unlike the children of Israel as they're moving through the wilderness. But he starts off by saying, now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differs nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. And skipping ahead, and because you are sons, God has sent forth, verse 6, the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. And skip ahead. My little children, verse 19, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. So it's like, even though you are a Christian, you're a Christian when you get saved, right? You're a Christian in your spirit, in your inside, inner man, deepest center, most core part of you, in your heart, your holy of holies. But the reason I think sometimes we see differences in certain Christians and other Christians is because that inner man needs to get out into the holy place, into the outer court. And again, this is what I think Paul's talking about here when he's talking to the Galatians again, who they're struggling with legalism. They're struggling with being under the law. And he's saying, my little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. He wants Christ to be fully formed in their lives, you know, into their souls and into their bodies. Let's see if there's anything else in here. And yeah, he talks on the last part of Galatians 4, the allegory of being under Hagar versus being under the promise, which is Sarah, right? And those two covenants are right there. And just learning to live your life every day in your soul and in your behavior under that freedom that's under Sarah, right? And it's so easy to create fruit if you're under Hagar. You can easily go out and solve problems. You know, you can be Abraham and you can go find Hagar and you can solve the problem and you can have a lot of fruit. And he talks about that here. Verse 27, for it is written, rejoice you barren that bear not. You know, the child of the promise doesn't always show fruit. The problem's not always solved. Break forth and cry, you that travail not, for the desolate has many more children than she which has an husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. And so these things are so big and deep, I'm not going to be able to exhaust it. But it has something to do, too. We talked about this at House Church a couple weeks ago, but just that idea of, in, you know, Jesus talked to Peter, and he told Peter, in patience, possess your soul, right? He said something like that. I'm probably butchering the quote, but we're to possess our souls, which is our inner man has to take over our outer man, right? It's got to move. It's got to work its way out. And the last thing is, if you go back to Deuteronomy, where we kind of started, I caught this when I was on the way out the door, and I was just like, wow, this is like five more teachings right here. But just to kind of give you all some encouragement to look at this on your own. You know, Deuteronomy has the blessings and cursings, which I know are real popular, especially in the faith movement in the last 50 years. But everybody wants to be blessed. Everybody wants health, wealth, relationships. We all want that. And it's all laid out for you in Deuteronomy 28, as well as the curses, which are in Deuteronomy, I think, 28 and 29. But if you look here, just some of the things that Moses says as he's talking about these promises. 28, which one do I want to pick out? And it shall come to pass, verse 1, if you shall hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord your God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command you this day, that the Lord your God will set you on high above all nations of the earth. You know, that's the desire of my heart, I know. I want to be set on high. You know, I want to be just awesome. I want to be a blessing. But I also want it for good reasons. I also want to bless other people. I think when we get saved, we really do want to bless other people. We don't just want to have it for ourselves. It's the devil that perverts that, you know. Like, I want, you know, Shannon's family, a lot of them are not believers. I want them to be blessed, you know, and I argue with them. And a lot of times I have to check myself, or God checks me, because I'm trying to win an argument. But I want them blessed. I want them to see God is good. I want them to see the Bible's real, you know. It's not just so that I can be great and I can win an argument. And I think it's the same for Israel, that God wanted Israel to be blessed. He wants them to be awesome. But they mistook that for them doing it and them getting the glory, you know. And you see this with some of the words. He promises, all these blessings shall come on you and overtake you. And skipping ahead, verse 47, because you serve not the Lord your God with joyfulness. He wants you joyful. If you don't serve him with joyfulness, then you're missing the mark. And with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things. Skipping ahead to chapter 29, almost done. Oh, this is great. 29, verse 4. Yet the Lord has not given you, and he's already gone through the curses at this point, yet the Lord has not given you an heart to perceive, and eyes to see, and ears to hear unto this day. So he's even telling them, he's not given you yet that heart to understand what it is that he's asking you to do. He's kind of giving them to answer the test right here. Keep therefore the words of this covenant and do them, that you may prosper. Hearing God's word and hearing his laws in the right way with a new heart is that path that leads you to success. It leads you to blessing. It leads you to blessing your neighbor and everybody else. And then he gives the warning. I think this is almost it. And it come to pass when he hears the words of this curse, he's talking about what not to do, that he bless himself in his heart, saying, I shall have peace, though I walk in the imagination of my heart to add drunkenness to thirst. The Lord will not spare him. And he goes into a lot of detail of what happens when you live out of the imagination of your heart, but you're not humble. You're not, your heart's not right. Your heart's off. You're off on your own, wandering around, and you've left the Lord, right? Okay, two more verses. Chapter 30, verse 6. And the Lord your God will circumcise your heart. So he does give that promise in Deuteronomy of the answer, which is that cutting of the flesh. You shall circumcise your heart and the heart of your seed to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, that you may live. And then he tells you over here, and I'll just say this. I'm going to read one verse, but I just want to say this one thing. So as I was looking at this, you know, he's about to say, choose life or choose death. And so he does give us that power to choose. He knows by foreknowledge what we'll choose. And he does sovereignly protect us. I do believe that. But every day we have a choice to choose life or choose death. And you think about what choosing life is. And it's you know, I was thinking about it this way, like you have all these issues, you have all these problems that come up every day when you wake up. You have these issues, and it's easy to just try to solve the problem, try to fix up, to try to just look at it merely from the outer man perspective, to be outward focused, and by doing that, you end up either solving the problem and you get really proud, and because you're performance based, or you fail, which is what happens to me a lot too, and then I get ashamed, and I end up in the shame thing, and the devil loves to have you there, right? And I think even God allows you to have that, because that's that Romans 7 experience, how to perform that which is good I find not. You know, you're not going to be able to figure that out. That's the choosing death. You solve the problem, you go fix things up. And then the choosing life is you have an issue, and in your heart you have that spirit of adoption, that an acceptance, the faith that says God's with you. You cry, Abba, Father. You humble yourself. You know, you receive the word. It says to receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. And then by faith, you push forward and you grow through suffering. And you see this throughout scriptures. You suffer through issues with faith, but you're able to push through. And that's like that, you know, we talk about Jocko, this ex-Navy SEAL guy that's got a ton of YouTube videos. And I mean, he's, a lot of people listen to his podcasts and stuff. But I think the reason why he's got such a strong message right now is he's trying to encourage, especially men, to, you know, do hard things, like get strong, you know, buck up, you know, like stop being a sissy, you know, go get strong and face your problem, and life's an adventure, you know, go after it, instead of just kind of cowering down. And I feel like there is a faith message there. That's what God's telling us. That's like the Joshua message. And so in the last scripture I'll read and I'll finish is, I call heaven and earth, this is verse 19 of chapter 30, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both you and your seed may live. So that's the word. So, Lord, we just thank you for today. Thank you for giving us your word of faith into our hearts. We humble our hearts. We receive that word. We pray that everybody in here, Lord, whatever our issue is, health, wealth, relationships, performance, whatever the issue is, Lord, we just thank you for giving us an answer through your word in our heart. We take hold of it, we believe it, and we walk with you daily, Lord, and we just thank you for showing us the way, showing us the path forward. And if anybody needs prayer, we just invite them to come down, and we just turn to you, Lord. If we need to repent, We need to repent daily, but if anybody in here needs something they need to turn away from and towards, that all happens in our hearts, Lord. And we just pray that you would move on them to make that decision. If they're on the wrong path, get back on the right path through their heart, being made right with you, Lord. And we just thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And any comments or... Yeah. Okay. Okay, awesome. Thank you. Anybody else? Amen.